Let's pray together. Living, loving God, we praise and thank you for this day that you've given us. This is a day that reminds us of your mercy and your forgiveness, your offer of a new beginning for all who will truly seek it. Search us, O God, and lead us in the way of eternal life. Our God, we thank you for this time that you've given us, for this season of Lent which reminds us of the need for prayer and reflection, of discipline and self-examination. We thank you for all this season leads towards the days of Holy Week and Easter, these days which remind us of your great love shown in Christ and your great victory won through him. Living God, help us to use this day wisely and help us to use this season of Lent fully so that our faith and our trust may be deepened, our horizon stretched, and our love for you and for others increased. Cleanse us of all that's wrong in our lives. Put in us a new heart and a right spirit. And prepare us to rejoice again at the wonder of your love revealed in Christ, crucified and risen. So search us, O God, and lead us in the way of life eternal. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Right, I'm going to try something a wee bit technical. If it doesn't work, we'll do it another way. Let's see. Source. Ah, it does work. Excellent. Good. How many of you know what that is?
It looks like a hippo.
It looks like a hippo. How many people think it might be a hippo? Most people think, yeah, it's a hippopotamus. It's very bright outside, so we're not seeing it as clearly as we might. But it's a hippopotamus. And I was fiddling around on the internet this week and came across a video of the old Flanders and Swan song about the hippopotamus. Who knows the hippopotamus song? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do you fancy singing it? I do know the words. I do know the chorus. There's a famous song about the hippopotamus. The problem was when I listened to the video of Flanders and Swan singing it, they were singing it in Russian. And I couldn't even write down the words. But there's a chorus, isn't it? How does it go? Mud, mud, glorious mud. Nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the wallow. And there be for glory in glorious mud. Very good. Yeah. Mud, mud, glorious mud. And the point of the song right at the start is about follow me down. And Lent is a time of journeying and following God and going on a journey. Now the hippopotamus, I was going to say there's a very famous story in the Bible about the hippopotamus, but I think there's a reference maybe to a hippopotamus, but it's not a famous story. Does anyone know what a female hippopotamus is called? Have a guess. Nothing rude. It's a cow, yes. A female hippopotamus is called a cow. Well, if the female hippopotamus is called a cow, can you guess what the babies are called? Calves, that's right, they're called calves. And a few years ago, I came across a story about a hippopotamus in a zoo in America. And this female hippopotamus gave birth to twin calves. Usually they have one, but this time there was twin calves. And there was a problem, because they wanted to give the calves names, because it was a zoo, and the zoos always want to name animals to make them more human, more attractive for visitors. But in trying to think of names for the twin calves, they had a problem, because the mother hippo wouldn't let anybody near the calves, let alone close enough to determine whether they were boys or girls. And so the zoo staff just didn't know what to name them. And the naming of the twin calves was delayed for quite some time as the mother continued to care for her babies, feeding them, protecting them, keeping them very close to herself and away from danger. And the babies, the calves, well, they didn't seem to mind at all that they didn't yet have a name, and they just stayed close to their mum. They knew a good thing when they saw it. And that good thing was a huge, funny-looking, grey and pink creature who wallowed in the mud and provided them with everything they needed. So why on earth would they ever want to stray away from their mum? And I suppose that kind of love and protection by the mother hippopotamus is very much the same in most animals. Kangaroos. Who knows what a baby kangaroo is called? A joey, yeah. And baby kangaroos are called joeys, and they're born in a very strange way, because they're born and then they crawl up into a special pouch in their mum's tummy. And they stay in that pouch for as long as they can, sometimes as long as 9 months are in the pouch. So they're very small when they go in, but they're quite big and quite strong animals when they eventually leave their mum's pouch, the safety and security of hiding themselves in their mum. And baby eagles, or eaglets, as they are called, they don't leave their nest until they're about 3 months old. So you see, it's quite natural for a mum to want to love and to care for her children. And that's a very good example for us, a good Bible story example of the love that Jesus has for his children. So listen to this story, and this tells us something about the love that Jesus has for his children. It comes from Luke chapter 13. And Jesus is beginning to rub people up the wrong way. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Herod was the king. Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." So he's on his journey to Jerusalem, and he knows that the possibility of death lies ahead. And then Jesus said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" What a beautiful picture of Jesus, isn't that? Like a mother hen, Jesus gathering his children under the protection, under the shelter of his wings. And Jesus loves people and loves children and loves children today, and he wants to gather all of us under his arms and protect us and care for us. And sometimes we wander off and we stray away and we get into bother and danger, but Jesus still loves us just the same. And that's the kind of love that he has for you and for me. Let's pray and then we'll sing again. Dear Jesus, we thank you for loving us and protecting us like a mother hen protecting her chicks. Help us to take our place under the shelter of your wings. Amen. We sing again. Next song. I'll reset it. Yes, I can do it now.
Can do it then. We'll start music. There we are. Heaven is.
Purified.
Exactly. There we are. Next heaven is purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. There's an old Gaelic word, cúnnu. It describes the weeping and the wailing and the lamenting of grief, how people feel and express themselves after a loved one dies. Cúnnu. And in English, that's translated keening. And that's what Jesus is doing here as he looks over Jerusalem. Even as he stands up to Herod the fox, Jesus is a mother hen keening in grief. If you go to Israel today, on the Mount of Olives, you can visit a small tear-shaped church. It's known as Dominus Flevit. And as you look from that church out the window over the city of Jerusalem, you can imagine Jesus on his triumphal entry into the city on Palm Sunday, becoming so overwhelmed by the beauty of the second temple up on Temple Mount, and predicting its future destruction and the scattering of the Jewish people, you can picture him keening, weeping, lamenting openly. It's one of the significant moments in Jesus' journey to the cross, and it's told in a much, much fuller way in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 23, where we read Jesus' lengthy diatribe of seven woes pronounced against the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who by their words and by their actions don't make it easy for people to come to God. And one of the challenges for us to consider during Lent is, how easy do we make it for people to come to God? In that church, Dominus Flevit Church, just across the valley from Old Jerusalem, there's a mosaic of the mother hen with her wings outstretched and welcoming and embracing her chicks, those who come to her for love and for protection. And what does this stunning image offer us for our own Lenten journey? Well, here are three things that strike me about the picture Jesus paints of the mother hen God. During Lent, firstly, we are called to embrace radical vulnerability. Yes, Jesus mocks the king, he mocks Herod, calling him a fox, but Jesus never argues that foxes aren't dangerous. He never promises us a divine immunity from harm. I mean, let's face it, if a fox was determined to catch and kill a hen or a brood of chicks, he would find a way to do that. What Jesus, the mother hen, offers us is not the absence of danger, but the fullness of his unguarded, open-hearted, wholly vulnerable self in the face of all that threatens and scares. And what he gives us is his own body, his own life, wings spread open, heart exposed, shade and warmth and shelter at the ready. And what he promises, a great risk to himself, is the making of his very being into the place of refuge and return for his children, for all his children, even the ones who would want to stone and kill him. What would it take for us to embrace Jesus' vulnerability as our strength, to trade in our images of a conquering God for the image of a mother hen God? I expect that hens, gathering their chicks under their wings when a predator approaches, are much like other animals who seem to swell up with indignation, and they appear to be twice their size. They swell with indignation. They also swell, I suppose, a bit with fear and courage. They stand their ground. They're prepared to die if they have to. Their children tucked so securely beneath their soft, vulnerable bodies. And I can't imagine, as I read this story of the mother hen God, I can't imagine a more profound or radical picture of our God, a God who makes himself vulnerable. And as the church, as the body of Christ, we too need to be reaching out and embracing the most vulnerable folks around us in our communities, and in so doing, help them to experience the protecting and the saving love of Jesus Christ. So Jesus stopped on his way into the city to look over Jerusalem, and with tears running down his face, he keened in grief, he lamented, he wept. And during Lent, you and I are called to that same kind of lamentation. You don't have to be a parent to mourn missed opportunities or broken promises or crushed hopes. All of us, regardless of our circumstances, know what it's like to feel rejected. We know the pain of watching someone we care about slowly self-destruct before our eyes. We carry painful memories of unrequited love, of unmet desire, of unfulfilled dreams. And in this gospel passage today, Jesus grieves for his lost and wandering children, for the little ones who will not come home, for the city that will not welcome its Saviour. For the endangered multitudes who refuse to listen to their peril, the peril that awaits them, they refuse to recognise it. His is the lamentation of long thwarted, helpless yearning. How often, he says, have I desired to gather you? It's a lamentation for all that could have been in this broken, resistant, clueless world. It's a lamentation for the real limits we live with as human beings. The lasting wounds. Sometimes, like Jesus, the mother hen, we can't do what we most desire to do. We can't give what we deeply long to give. We can't save the loved ones we ache to save. So how might you and I be called to lamentation during this season of Lent? What do you yearn for that eludes you? What missed chances or failed efforts or broken dreams tug at your heart and call you into this keening, this lamenting and weeping and mourning? How might we, the church, lament with Jesus over our homes and our towns and cities, our countries, our planet? How might we stand with him in the Jerusalems of our lives and weep our sorrow into new hope? You see, thirdly and finally, we're called during Lent to return. You were not willing, Jesus tells his wandering children. You would not come back. You would not relinquish your right to yourself, not even when your life depended on it. And the image of chicks snuggling safely under a mother hen's wing is an image of gathering, of community, of intentional oneness. And it requires a return, a surrender, a tempering of our wild lone rangerism, if you like. There are so many people in our community around us here who would claim some kind of church membership of our church, and yet they don't worship and they don't pray with us. And while they expect the church to be here for them at significant moments, they don't seem to take the promises they made when they became members very seriously. Many of them shirk the responsibility of supporting and financing the Lord's work in this place. And in that, they're not much different from any of the rest of our community. And so the burden of ministry falls on the few of us who are faithful in our worship and in our prayer and in our serving and our giving. Are they, as Paul in his letter to the Philippians, are they the kind of people Paul describes as friends or enemies of God? Enemies of the Christ, the cross of Christ. But you know, whether we're speaking of those who have rejected Christ, or those who've simply never met Christ, or those who've simply slipped away over the years, they're actually not that different from you and me. 2 or 3 weeks away, it's often said, is all that it takes to get us out of the habit of meeting together. And if we're honest, while we might be doing it on our own, hardly any of our Sunday congregations meets together during the week to read God's word, to pray together, to encourage one another in our life's faith journey. When I was off work last year, I discovered myself how hard it can be to maintain the discipline of the normal Christian life when you're isolated from your faith community. So how can we expect the blessing of God if we're not seeking after his will? How can we expect people to come and want to join our fellowship if we do so little to go out of our way to reach them and introduce them to the person of Jesus Christ and to hold them in that relationship? How many of us would feel confident sharing our faith story, even with the folks around us this morning, let alone with other people in our community? Perhaps it's because deep within each one of us there's an unwillingness to change. We hold too tightly to our old lives and our old ways of doing things, and we're afraid of journeying and stepping out into the unknown. We would never be like Abraham and Sarah, leaving their home and everything they knew and journeying with God. And there are other great foremothers and forefathers of faith who've done that same journey. So I wonder what in us this Lent is not willing to be gathered and to journey. What in us is not willing to surrender to community, to a larger whole, to the wings of God's care and God's people? Where in our lives have we chosen to go alone, spurning love, because that love is too risky? I won't lie to you, a vulnerable mother hen, God, is the riskiest thing that some of us can imagine doing and being. There are lots of other Bible passages that we could read, and we might prefer these images of God because they speak of power and acumen and social status and success. And if these were the characteristics Jesus wanted to emphasize, he could have chosen any number of more appropriate Bible stories to make his point. He could have described God as an enraged she-bear, or God as a soaring mother eagle, or God as a labouring woman, or God as a mum of a happy, healthy toddler, or God as a skilled midwife. But these are not the images he chooses as he looks over Jerusalem. Instead of the second Sunday of Lent, Luke's Gospel invites us to contemplate Jesus as the mother hen, the one who's weeping for us, the one who is calling us home, the one whose body and heart are on the line, and yet the one whose desire is fixed on you and me. The mother hen God who will never, ever stop calling us home. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. During this wilderness season of repentance and transformation, may the desire of Jesus become our desire too. May the way of the mother hen, the way of vulnerability and sorrow and hope and eternal welcome, lead us all on our journey home. Amen. We'll sing once more, Living Under the Shadow of His Wing.
This is a new hymn for us. It's not new, but we've not done it before. So I think we'll sing and play through the first verse for you. And then we'll repeat the first verse again, start from the beginning, and you can join in with us from there. I think we could just remain seated there for to sing this. So we're repeating the first verse, Don. I can't remember how to do that. And do the altar, you can maybe take the altar just
yes,
sing through the first time through.
Salvation. You've claimed us as citizens of heaven. But we know that often our lives have looked no different from anyone else's. Our minds too often locked on earthly things. So may the gifts we bring this morning and make in other ways at other times be symbolic of our desire to let go of all that doesn't reflect who we are and whose we are. May we be more faithful witnesses, knowing that we are on a journey to our homeland, an eternity with you. In the Redeemer's name, we pray. Amen. Can I just remind you of a couple of notices? There are two funerals of folks this week who are associated with our congregation on Wednesday. We finally get an opportunity to thank God for the life of the Reverend Sandy Bertram. That'll be 11 o'clock over in the church. And then on Friday, I think 11 o'clock as well, service for Jim Esselmont, another of our members who has died recently. Can I say thank you to all of you who voted for the various projects in the Cash for Creath process? The project that we're hoping to see run in the church here, the Cafe Connections, was got its full funding, so that's excellent. So thank you to all of you who voted for that or for the other projects. They were all great projects, and there was a lovely presentation evening down at the art space yesterday evening, and many folks were there as well. So it's great that all these different projects in Creath that are going to help folks in our community get the chance to move forwards. And even those who didn't win in the ballot got a wee bit of money to help them as seed funding for their projects as well. So that was great. So thank you for that. I'm sure there was another notice. If I remember it before the end, I'll share it with you. Let's pray again. Loving God, we remember today how much Christ has loved us, how much he was willing to sacrifice and endure for our sakes. Our prayer this Lent is that you would teach us to follow. You set before him the need to choose between the way of self and the way of the cross, the way of the world and the way of love, the way of life that leads to death and the way of death that leads to life. So teach us to follow. And we thank you for the choice Jesus made and for all that lay behind it. The faith that gave him the inner strength to resist temptation and accept your will, and the courage to take the path of suffering and death, the love which guided all. So teach us to follow. And forgive us that having received so much from him, we have given so little in return, because we're self-centred and we put ourselves before others and before you, and we shy away from sacrifice and self-denial. We're narrow in our vision. We're more concerned with earthly satisfaction and spiritual fulfilment. More concerned with taking the easy, comfortable way than following the way of Christ. So loving God, once more, we pray, assure us of your constant mercy. Once more, cleanse and renew our hearts. Once more, give us strength and faith and courage to follow where you would lead us. And teach us to hunger and to thirst for righteousness, knowing that you are always able to fill us, to trust in you always, come what may, knowing that your love will never fail us, and to offer you our worship through all we are and all we do, knowing that you alone are God. Loving God, lead us when our time of trial comes, when we are faced by the need to choose, and deliver us then from evil. Teach us to follow, in the name of Christ. Amen. A closing hymn, Lord, I lift your name on high. And proclaim the gospel not just through words but also with deeds, through what you say and what you do and who you are. And may other people, as they meet you, meet with Christ and know his living presence for themselves. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this Lent and always. Amen.